that's what Jesus called the apostles and disciples to, and us to, and the value of doing that. And so I'm going to continue in John 15 as Jesus continues to encourage them. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, the one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I'm going to read that line again. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Simple as that. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What a great privilege. You do not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. So he's building on the abiding in him, in the vine, with loving one another. And it's not only about us and God, but horizontally. Now, that's the vertical, the importance of the horizontal. And then I just really like the line where he makes it so simple. You are my friends if you do what I command. And so wanted to remind us of that as we go forward with this. So appreciate you guys being here. Let me start us off with a prayer. Father, we are thankful for the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the tool of the Word that keeps that in front of us. Help us take advantage of that. Thank you that we can be friends and get the insight into what you're doing, why you're doing it, to the extent of our ability to understand. We praise you for that. That is a privilege of life and a purpose of life that's awesome. So thank you for including us in that, making that available to us, and help us share with others that availability. They too can connect with you, abide in the vine, lean on Jesus, be forgiven, and have the purpose, and be your friend. Thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. All right. We thought we'd start with some ministry leader updates. And so Jeff probably let you know, hope to give you 20 minutes or so if we need that much to learn an update of what's going on in your ministry and pray about things, maybe things you need or things that need to be considered. We don't have to answer everything tonight, but making us aware and helping you with answering what we can. So, Kaylin, we'll go ahead and start with you. And you're labeled as worship and communications, but at my work, I call myself Captain Miscellaneous. So, if you want to be Princess Miscellaneous,
so no surprise.
Take on
Princess Miscellaneous. It's got a nice ring.
So.
I don't know, as long as you don't change my title to ringleader. Yes, okay. Well, thank you for the invitation, and I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be at McKnight. Very happy in my work here. Just want to say thank you.
That's great.
Yes.
Stay happy.
I plan to stay as long as we live in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Maybe remotely after we leave, if you want. No, just that'd be very hard to do. So for the worship coordinating part of my role, I want to express how great it has been to work with all of the volunteers, especially Carrie Bryant and Chris Fuller and Steve, who are very consistent, almost on a weekly basis, several of them Wednesday for practice, as well as Sunday mornings early. And then we've got the tech team coming in and helping many of them on a weekly or almost weekly basis. Brian Hills, you know, every week. Also, I need to mention Carol Briggs and Alec Hill, because their work on communion and communion serving takes something off of me that would be a lot of additional coordinating on my part if I did those things. So I'm really grateful to all of them for their commitment and their passion for it and their being cooperative and willing to work together. my values or commitments in this. Hello.
Hey. Hey guys.
Brad's on his way up.
Okay.
Oh great. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Our hybrid tradition here now of instrumental and a cappella music, and to congregational singing. So if that is aided by instruments, great, and if that is aided by a cappella singing, that's great. But I really value having congregational participation. I want to know that no matter how many instruments we have on the stage or how loud the sound system is, the people in the seats are singing. And that is definitely not a performance in any way that the leaders, I know the leaders that I just mentioned, see themselves as facilitating an atmosphere where they can connect with God and with each other, but not as performers.
It's been a really, I think the team's done a good job of that distinction, and there's a line not getting crossed. So I really like that. I'm glad you're sensitive to that as well.
Okay.
When we started instruments, our logic was, are more people singing or not?
Mm.
And so that's on your radar too, so that's neat.
Yeah.
It's a nice fundamental gauge. So.
You know, I think it augments the worship service. And again, I came from a background in Oklahoma that would be,
yes,
you can imagine, really. And, you know, what I see is that what is being done, we don't want it to be a performance, because in the Bible it addresses that. You know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, people say, well, you don't need to have a praise team. But when I see it as it helped, I think the singing is much, when I go back to my hometown, people don't sing as much. Now, I'm not judging, per se, but yet they don't. But when I come here, people are singing. Even I sing, and I can't sing. Whatever that is. I mean, it sounds, you know, but I do sing, and I enjoy it. It uplifts me. And I think as long as we keep it that way, and it's not a performance, that's what we got to understand, because there is a fine line. And as somebody who's come from my background, and probably some of your background too, I mean, it was that, you wouldn't have seen that, any of this, but I think it does. What you're doing is just what you said. But there is a fine line. You don't want to get too far over.
Yeah.
But I think it uplifts. It makes people, more people sing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So I've been learning some since I've come on about the history. As some of you may remember, I have been to McKnight Road congregation as a child, and so it was very similar to my own home congregation in the Kansas City area. But obviously, once I came here with my family a couple of years ago, things were different, and feel like my family and I have been able to fit into that nicely and really enjoy it. But because I was not present for your whole transition from being Mid-County and McKnight Road and some of North City into now being like one congregation, I was not here for the transition from all a cappella singing to having some instrumental accompaniment. And so I just want to check in and say that from your conversations way back then, before I was ever brought on, what the history of that was, your vision for where it would go, whether what we're doing now is aligning with the vision that you set out, or whether it's taking another turn and you need to realign it, or whether it's taken a turn but you're going, oh, this is good, we'll go with it. So if any adjustments are made, I'm very open to knowing what those are and hearing about that. Worship planning has been a blessing of my job. I find it stimulating to work on, and Jeff's been good to work with as far as looking at the text for his sermons for that week, or the sort of themes that we might hit on in the lyrics of the songs. there haven't been very many points of friction, but for me, I will state that my personality wants to involve people as much as possible, and so anytime that it comes into like a gatekeeping mode, or I'm being a producer of something and I'm looking at talent, and that's harder for me because I don't like feeling like I have to exclude someone because, but realistically, I do recognize that maybe not everybody needs to be holding a microphone, maybe not everybody needs to be up front, and so I've been over the last year working through that balance of how do we include people, how do we get diverse voices heard and perspectives represented. You know, we want it to be intergenerational, so we want it to be something that the kids are engaged in, but the older members are enjoying and not feeling like they're getting left behind or disconnected. So just all of those balances. Let's see. An aspect of worship coordinating that came up that I was not necessarily expecting at the onset was any worship coordinating that's not Sunday morning. So if there's a funeral or memorial service, if there's a retreat. I went on this last retreat, but if I were not going to the retreat, you know, would I be still making sure that someone was in place that, or that worship would happen, or is that up to the retreat planners? So that's one question that's arisen. And then I was going to say some stuff more about the tech team, but because I know that you're getting updates about more of that, then I won't go into any specifics except to say that I've had the resources that I need, especially with the guys that are more tech savvy with the computers and stuff, knowing how to make sure that this screens are ready to go, the live stream is ready to go, so that those things can be as little of a distraction to the leaders and the congregation on a Sunday. I'm interested in playing with the idea of worship planning teams, but right now we've been just kind of focusing on the main core of people that I mentioned earlier, the folks that you tend to see on a weekly basis. And my main concern, in addition to inclusion and involvement of people who want to be a part of it, is making sure that we don't have any of our volunteers burn out because they just get tired from doing it week in and week out. And that's all I have on worship planning at the moment. I can talk about the communications part of things, or I can stop there and we can talk about worship, like questions if you have those. Or
on the part, because of your personality part, when you were going down that path a little bit and wanting to include people but also needing to make real-time kind of decisions in terms of who's doing what when, okay, does that become a heavy burden for you, or is it just something you're aware of that you have to kind of struggle with a bit? How high should we understand that as a concern?
It's been workable, and for the most part, any situations that have arisen have sort of simmered back down. So, like Patty Lacoste Arnold was very interested in getting involved early on in my time, so I brought her in and scheduled her for several weeks, and she sang with us some, but then there were some conflicts between her and the Fullers a little bit over, she wanted it to be more musically precise, and they were kind of like, we're volunteer worship leaders, like, can you kind of back off on your criticism? And so then they were like, don't schedule her with us. And so then I'm like trying to do the shuffle of, okay, I have to schedule her on a week when Bryant's singing, because Bryant is laid back enough that he'll sing with whoever. And then Carrie's more particular about who she likes to have singing with her. So then that means that some of the other people who sing only get scheduled once a quarter or something. And most of them don't seem to mind. Most of them seem to be very, if you need me, I'll sing. If not, I'm happy to just be in the congregation, and they're not, their feelings aren't hurt, so.
There's a lot of feelings, though.
There are a lot of feelings.
And people who are, I mean, just in people generally, but in this kind of role, too, where you're taking a public role, and maybe even personality-wise, people that tend toward this have a lot of feelings. And it's new to some people, a lot of people, so that's also raises the bar of anxiety for them.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
As some of you know, at the ministry fair, we had a sign up for different things. Do you want to read scripture? What part do you sing? And there was also a sign up for playing instruments. And Matthew Bardwell and Alec Hill and Greg
Walton
all signed up for guitar. And so at one time, maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, I was trying to get them into practices and, I don't know, see how that would go. But because it's not like we held auditions or anything, and I was telling Chris Fuller, you're going to have to help me out with the instrumental stuff because I don't play guitar. I don't know if these guys can actually keep the rhythm well enough to be on stage with us. And so a few of them did it a couple of times, and there seemed to be a little bit of excitement, I felt. Like, I know that the week that Greg Walton played guitar, Peggy Hope had her phone out taking a picture of it, and I think there was this sense of, oh, some fresh faces up there doing this. But then I got some feedback from Steve Haupt in particular, but I think Chris Fuller agreed, these guys maybe once a month, but they don't need to be up there every week. And Steve is such a gifted, piano player and improviser that, and because he does it on a weekly basis, I can appreciate he doesn't want to also be trying to mature and help along these newbies when he comes for practices on Wednesday night out of his own time. You know, he just wants to run the songs. And when I'm putting words in his mouth a little bit, which I shouldn't do, that is the impression that I got, was that it was too much to ask them to both help lead worship and to help newcomers get good at it and able to do it. And so we sort of...
You could do one or the other, in a sense. You could help them develop or they could lead. But to develop and lead one-hour practice just wasn't a workable model.
So I ended up feeling like I had to sort of renege on my invitation to participate, which I think hurt all three of their feelings. Now I think they're probably over it, and they have continued to get together and play with each other, I don't know, just to improve or to get that outlet.
And have been playing now in the children's worship.
Yes, Jeff has them playing some with children's worship.
Lots of contact with them on their development.
Which seems like it's really working.
So they're one of the big things about them is that they are people that have learned to play the guitar, but not perform playing the guitar. So going back to this conversation that we had, but when you're up front, you have to be able to perform.
Sure.
And so it's sort of the thing we try not to do for church, but in reality, if you're up there making a bigger problem for everybody else, you're going to make a big scene. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to make a big scene with the guitar. You want it to sort of just let it flow through the music. And so Chris and Steve with the piano are able to flow. So that's what they're working to get to. So what we've done is we've let them practice together. And they have five songs that they're working through. And then they practice at home, but then they come together and play together, and then they play for the kids. So at the beginning of children's worship, we usually had them come in and play two songs. It'll be one of them each week. So then they play the two songs that they've been practicing. So that's something completely different. So I mean, it's not, instead of just coming in and having to learn five songs for worship, they learn two songs, they practice through them, and it's been pretty good. The kids have been enjoying it. And it all goes back to pretty much Kaylin and the way that the kids are in there at the beginning. They hear these songs, they learn these songs, mm-hmm. and they come into worship, and then they sing them in children's worship as well, that are similar ones that they've heard other places, and they've been active. where if you're playing a video of the song, they're not active. Mm-hmm. They're just listening to it, and they may stand there and do the motions, but with these songs, they have to sing. There's nothing else, because that's exactly what we do in worship. We don't have that words going through and blasting. So it's been positive, I think.
Well,
even though they consider themselves
out.
The B guitar group, or the B instrumentalist. I don't remember they had a new title for themselves. Yeah. But
well, and I have an eye toward, I guess, sustainable practice. So far, it has worked out that if Steve is not in town, Chris Fuller is here. And if Chris Fuller is not in town, Steve is here. Or we could handle a one-off a cappella service with no instruments. But in the event that Steve or Chris weren't around anymore, you know, I don't think you guys want to be hiring professional musicians the congregation doesn't know to come in. So it's good that people who do know how to play but maybe not as well yet are practicing.
Yeah.
Or getting a sense from the leadership that, you know, we want you to train or something. And it's not a super closed, impermeable club.
Is Chris Jones not in the rotation anymore?
You know, I would like for Chris Jones to be in the rotation. And actually, my preference would be for him to lead about once a month. But I don't think, well, hearsay through Carrie is that he doesn't want to sing and play together, and that he does not want to come to practices. And so that has just ended up, because Chris Fuller is so willing to play and come to practice, we've ended up, but he's like musically gifted enough that I could probably call on him most weeks unless we were trying to learn a new song or something. And he could come in Sunday morning and practice with us early Sunday, and it would still go great.
Okay. Yeah, I think the struggle is that he's not here on Wednesdays to help the others. Mm-hmm. And his work schedule is definitely one that he doesn't have really that extra time, and he lives far enough from church that it's hard to get in for that Wednesday night, 6 o'clock practice.
Okay, Lynn, I really appreciate what you guys do. You know, when Jeremy left, I didn't know, hey, how's this going to work out? But I really think you guys are doing great. And I really, you know, think there's a lot of energy and, you know, I think it's been good for the congregation. So I appreciate everybody that's doing that. And I didn't know if you're getting an earful from anybody in the congregation, you know, if there's anybody coming up in you saying, hey, what about this song? What about that? Or we're doing this too much or this too little. And I didn't know if you're getting
not too much. Vicki Roberts has talked to me a couple of times about like a week without any a cappella. And then I'm like, okay, because
without any instrument. A week of a cappella.
No. Well, I mean, she has complained if we have a week where we don't sing any a cappella songs.
Yeah,
and so, but otherwise, not much of the feedback is coming to me.
You have much negative feedback for people who come in to McKnight. And of course, you know, we know the history and we know what, I think somebody who comes in and knows the history, it's not, but, you know, maybe calling you because you guys are the first ones that they're going to, you know, talk to.
People have decided not to stay.
Okay. I've been around those.
But they've not, which has happened, and then, you know,
it's going to happen.
Even
yeah.
maybe Travis's parents were pretty uncomfortable.
They weren't
Sunday.
Able to stay through the service, no.
Yeah, okay. So that would be an illustration. And that, you know, we'd have had that. But I don't know of anybody in several years that has tried to make an issue out of it where they've you know, said that was wrong or whatever. It's just not what they were comfortable with.
Yeah, they don't
and that's how they put it.
And I would say every few weeks I'll have somebody, and it changes every time, Collins, you've done it, who will email or text me a link to a song, and they'll say, oh, have you heard this?
Yeah.
I really like this one. Yeah. I can't always work them in, but I take that as a expression of trust.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I couldn't tell you which ones I sent you because I just thought it was a nice song. If you can do it.
Yeah.
Because I trust what you're doing, and you're doing a great job. And again, I'm glad you're comfortable and happy, and that's because you're a nice one to deal with.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
Do you want to say anything about the other parts of your job? Because it is kind of varied.
I've been talking about music. I haven't even really said. I have not had a single person no-show for like communion thoughts or reading scripture. Like no one has just forgotten. Or if they did forget, they remembered a few minutes before and they still went up and did. I've only had one person, I think, get sick, and they gave me advance notice and we were able to cover it. So I was just amazed at that.
Okay, Lynn, when a pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, they don't bring it up. You know that. You just jinxed yourself.
That's awesome. Or they have 16 strikeouts.
That's awesome.
I mean, it is one of the things that I hear the most from people is the number of people that we involve.
That's okay. Good.
I think it's a lot, you know, for new people, they're not used to that.
Yeah. So, well, and I had an advantage in some ways of not having years worth of preconceived notions about people. So I may have asked people that you wouldn't have thought of, or
I think that's really
people might have said yes to me, that. Who might have said no to Jeff or some. You know.
And even extending the invitation means a lot, even if the answer is no.
Right.
So I've appreciated that, and I really like how the reading of a scripture or two, you know, there's a couple opportunities for that, and that's a step in to the public part, and then maybe that person would do a communion thought sometime or. I'd love to think of a way to expand the communion pool of folks that you have that are comfortable doing that. And so I don't know if it feels like you've got plenty or you're recycling the same dozen people or something. It's kind of like the songs where, you know, it's there might be 30 people doing that, but I don't realize that. So anyway, and I don't know what that is other than we can help suggest people or invite people in our small groups. Hey, have you ever thought about sharing a communion lesson or leading the prayer?
And if you have those conversations with people and they seem open, then let me know to ask them.
So there's a mechanism to feed some new faces. Some people, I think, they don't get the invitation and they feel disappointed by that, but then they won't step into that and ask for it. Mm. There's an interesting balance there.
Yeah.
And others would just be frightened at the notion, but they might stretch too. And so the invitation's a good thing to be doing, even if the answer's no sometimes.
Good.
So I really liked the blend of a cappella, and you know, whether it's one or three, we typically have, you know, some a cappella each Sunday. I think that's a worthy goal if there's a song that fits the theme that you're trying to do. I don't know how to figure out what ones have a guitar and what ones don't. Steve can play with everything, I know that.
Yes, so, and a lot of times the leaders have a feeling or preference about what they'll feel comfortable. But
feel real good about the balance that you're maintaining and a new song once in a while and things like that. So.
A couple of thoughts. One is, I've heard people say, do we have to stand on every song? Because there's some older people that are having difficulty. And then when everybody's standing, you know, you're kind of like down low and
can't see.
I think having a blend, you know, sure, standing and some songs are great, but I think that would be helpful for some people that I've heard from.
Yeah.
And I want to congratulate you on everything you've done. And I'd love to push you further into helping even in places where maybe we haven't let women participate yet, and if you're willing and comfortable with that, if your husband approves.
like running the computer?
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had a computer person.
That's funny.
I know. That's right. We welcome that. As long as you know what you're doing.
I guess you'd be Abby's the closest.
I would be willing to preach a sermon. It would be a stretch for me to suddenly leap into a weekly role or something. But
I think even in, we're talking about how we're going to fill the void after Jeff, you know, moves on here. And, you know, quite frankly, we're going to have to figure that out. And, you know, having multiple people up front might be, I think, a good experience. instead of having just a person to do a sermon, what if we had a dialogue of two or three people? And, you know, that's just me thinking right now, but I think, you know, that's something that we might want to engage in. So I would like to include you in that if we decide to do something like that. I'm just wondering if you felt open, and I appreciate that.
Yes, I'm open to that, and I do like that over the year, the congregation has gotten more used to seeing me up front, even if it's just a, you know, an announcement here or singing or something.
In my experience growing up, you know, my wife will never want to be up front for anything. It's, you know, I realize you just have to let people be comfortable in where they're at. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, though, I think when you bring people along, you know, I mean, I grew up in a church where, you know, everything was very black and white, and you know, unfortunately, the gospel is pretty messy sometimes, and sometimes people's expectations need to be told that, you know, there are certain things that are more important than others, and music, you know, churches not to get along because of music, to me, it was a non-biblical problem, you know, it's a cultural problem.
So we all.
I'm thrilled that we've where we're at the time. And,
I don't think we need drums.
Time. Oh, gracious.
I'm sorry. I don't think we need drums.
So
that but what we got now, I think, is a,
yeah. Yeah.
So I would. So that was my question.
Drums.
Additional instruments. Oh. So. Was that with us this morning that Elizabeth was mentioning it, or did she tell me yesterday?
She said something about Marissa and violin.
Yes. So one of the questions I have is, have we thought about adding other instruments besides just the guitar and the piano? Historically, when we were in the gym, we actually had a bass guitar at times. We actually had Keaton playing on banjo one Sunday for a country song, like a country or like a traditional thing. We also had Quain and Ben Kelly on drums, or like the drum box, multiple times to keep the beat. So it's much silent. It's not like a big drum set like Joe Shelley would do on his Metallica drums or something, but it's the drum box which allows it to keep it consistent. And I think we actually, the church owns one. I don't know where it's at. Jeremy had it, probably. And it floated places, and so. But I've not seen.
The sit on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. It starts with a K. Katana, Kabana. Some. I'd have to find it, but so that would be something. We would have to find people that would be able to play them.
What would the goal be? What's your purpose?
To keep the music sounding better. There are songs. So on Sunday, one example. The last song we did, it was missing something, and that was that beat. And so the last song
parts. I mean,
exactly. Well, Brian was back there singing the bass because there was no bass singing, and so whenever the tech team has to jump in and handle it, and so that's one of those things that I'm wondering if that bass or either the bass guitar or the bass from the drum would be able to keep that bass tone if we don't have a singer in that situation. And so that's where, when something's missing, it doesn't, if we're having a guitar and a piano for a song that isn't really made for a guitar and a piano, it makes it sound, it's okay, it's just, it's not the best it could be. If we're presenting the best that it could be, sometimes that drum box could help to bring it on.
Yeah, if you like, want to turn in your pew mates and friends who secretly play drums really well.
And so we've lost most of them.
I am not
Ben
aware
Kelly
of them.
Ben Kelly is currently not here. Sophia would have been the person that could have taken it. Jeremy had talked to her about it prior to Quain leaving. So Quain was playing guitar most of the time.
There's a perfect example of like history that was before me.
Yeah.
I haven't tried to expand beyond anything that was happening since the time I've been here, and it's always only ever been guitar and or piano
Correct.
And singers. and I'm not opposed to additional instrumentation, but like resource wise, you know, I recently came across a video from, it must have been when you had stopped meeting for COVID, and it was an online service that I think Jeremy had probably put together. And it was very sobering to watch, because like Lewis and Joyce did communion, and then they had messages from different people saying, you know, we miss you, we can't wait to get back together, and Tiffany and Izzy were on one of those. And, you know, and Jeremy talked about the importance of continuing to give, because Bob Connolly's still giving out food to people. But then there was one song that had the sort of Brady Bunch style squares of all the people singing. There was probably 12 people, and of the people singing that song, only two of them are still here, Diane Jones and Jerry Mickey. And all of the other people, some of them I didn't know, and they're gone, and some of them I did know, and they're gone. So
yeah, a lot of them are, some of them are graduates, so like the ones that, like the Earnhardt girls were both on there, I think.
Some of our musical talent departed.
Yeah, because Lane, the Hams, when the Hams left, that took out two of them.
Yeah, Lane was one of them.
Yeah, Lana was on there too, I think.
Yeah. So. I get squeamish moving toward a band, adding more folks. So I don't know where that line
is. So the drum box is what I sort of suggest as being one. And then what Elizabeth had said is the idea of allowing people that have ability. So Marissa being one of them, she's a violinist. And whether or not we could figure out some way for her to be in something,
it's
historically,
not like her doing violence for the entire service, having a song.
So like this last week, that would have been perfect for her. Instead of reading the scripture, she would have been up there participating.
Offered that in graduation.
That would have been part of her service to the church this week.
Yeah.
And that's where Jeremy had been trying to historically try to bring people in. I don't know if he would have ever brought a violin in, but he was trying to get Sophie to play the drums at one, or like the drum box at one point. But whatever happened that summer, by the fall, whenever we were going to do it, it just never happened. So that was always, that's a different story. But,
Steve Hopp has a drum box that you can turn on.
But that's different a little bit, as opposed to a person actually playing it, and they may have
to. But if you had the right person, New City Fellowship, they do it all through their service, and what it has done is allowed, I think, it's allowed the engagement of the African American community, particularly in a way that it's always hard for us to get over our whiteness to a certain degree. And so even in our song selection, even if Bryant's leading in a way, because we still sing it kind of white-like. And so that's one of the things that they did really well at New City Fellowship. And I would encourage anybody to go out there and look and watch. I'm not saying we have to do it every song.
Yeah.
But then that also then they had a whole subculture within their congregation of Africans. Who really dug it.
Yeah.
Okay, because that was a part of their background and heritage. So it brought a little bit more of a multicultural flavor to the service. Throw that out there.
So do we know anyone who can drum?
I'm wondering if Greg could.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Do you know if Greg plays?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I know he does piano very well.
Yeah.
He does guitar very well.
Yeah.
And he has to learn church songs. That's it. So he knows all kinds of secular stuff. But that was the funny thing that with Greg, that he can play pretty much anything. It's just that he hasn't practiced the church songs, and so that's where he's having to practice those in order to get to them.
Well, Kaylin, I want to make sure you leave encouraged. We are really much appreciate what you do, and thank you for sharing. I wasn't aware of some of the drama that you have to deal with and personalities, but we're very thankful for you doing that. And,
come on in, Brian.
I think we answered all your questions. I guess we didn't answer the question about the non-Sunday morning. And so has that come up very often?
I don't think it. I mean, I guess it is in part related to the only other thing I wanted to note, which is that right now Jeff is basically my like the person who brings me information when that needs to get relayed to the congregation. And so after Jeff retires, especially if it's before another pulpit minister is hired, if you want to designate an elder to be the one who lets me know if there's information that you want communicated to the congregation in the midweek email or in...
Or just to inform the offices.
Or something.
Yeah. Which I'd say I haven't always done the greatest job of that through the years, but it is amazing how many times we can get tripped up. We have our discussions, think that it's all known and obvious to everybody, and Elizabeth has no idea. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not a good look then when she's asked by, you know, Pam Edson or Vicki Roberts or, you know, something about something. So particularly now in that role with Kaylin, we probably need a representative voice from our group to Kaylin.
Does it make sense for that to be part of the staff meeting on Tuesday? You know, communication for the week, what's coming up, what goes in the bulletin, what's happening Sunday? Is that kind of a good focal point?
That's a good focal point. That's
that
fine.
Everybody
yeah.
chips in and
yeah.
if I don't know who will fulfill it, but that seems like a
yeah.
mechanism that
yeah.
would be really conducive.
And Steve, more or less it's kind of ebbed and flowed
yeah.
in the last few months, but they have been a part of the staff meeting from time to time. So maybe one of those would be the logical one, but I'm
not
here pointing
them.
But
pay that.
I would also say that for this transition, that you know, I'd love for you to use us as a resource for you in whatever way we can. So, you know, if you want somebody to open or close, whatever, you know, I mean, we try to pass that around, but, you know, I think every one of us is available, and you can tap our shoulders anytime.
Okay, good.
Him first.
Well, I think, you know, we're all available,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Thank you, Kaylin,
okay.
very much. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Okay, Lee.
All right. Collins has 18 seconds.
Okay. I was going, wait a second.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Well,
he asked all those questions. So,
I mean, yeah. I do appreciate what I've been a part of. I'm not saying that I hit it. I don't like to think it's a hit. We're all part of the shepherding the elders and the opportunities that I've had offered to me and to help, and that's what I want to do is help. And we're all are shepherds, I think, of what's in First Peter, and we're all to be shepherds. And it's the attitude we have, too, is what's important, you know, that we, you know, to serve God and to serve his people the way he wants us to. And the attitude, I think we're commanded certain things, but we got to have the right attitude. And I see a very good attitude, and I think having a pastoral team, you know, when I was thinking about the day that we had different missions, I didn't have one person sign up, but it didn't bother me. I talked to people, but it's not for everyone, because you know I enjoy going to see people in different situations. Like Ben, Mary and I went to see Lewis West, and I understood, you know, you understand, I've seen the dying process a lot, you know, and I know, and we, you know, we talked, and it was a good setup, you know, and we can all learn from each other. He told me, like, he says, I learned a lot from you, and I guess it's because I've been in that situation, and I enjoy people, and I enjoy this opportunity to see. I don't have as many people participate. You know, I have great people, though, that are. And I think that we can do a lot better. I think the feeding into who we need to see, you know, is good. I mean, I check the bulletins, and I think if the elders know people, because what we are, we're not to, I look at us as we're all in this together. You know, you guys, you know, you hear about more, and there's certain things that I wouldn't touch if I was called by someone to go see unless I okayed it through you. And, you know, but you know, I'm saying is that I need, you know, to get more people to see, and you know, Kaylin, and I think, you know, like I'm going to go see Tom Holmes in the morning at the nursing home, and I talked to Maria today. And, you know, and then, you know, you see different people, and, you know, and call, and in our small groups is a great source. Connect groups is a great source for me to connect and to reach the connect groups, because you know, we, you know, with Debbie Swartz, you know, we helped her a lot. Connie Smith, you know, her son, you know, we helped her a lot, you know, in getting through her illnesses and her problems, and we take food or whatever. And her son just said, he personally commented, thank you for what McKnight has done for them. And, you know, other people see that, and you want people to see it, but at the same time, you know, it's something that we all do, and get people to come back, you know, I mean, because if you don't talk to people, massage, you know, your flock, you know, and to take care of them, then people won't come back, and then you're going to lose us. But I see continued growth, and I think it's a big part of what the whole groups, connect groups, everybody can do. But we would, you know, I would welcome, you know, if you get someone, you know, that, you know, is having issues, but yet at the same time, it, the elders would clear that, or if it's an issue that maybe not just, you know, it's not an easy situation, but, you know, for a lot of things, you know, I can see them, and I, you know, any kind of consult you send me, and of course, I have great, like, Ben, I mean, he's super, and Barb is super, and we have, of course, there's a lot of people that aren't even on it, the elders, wives, people are seeing people, they're doing it anyway,
yeah,
and that's what we should be doing, not even necessarily have to have a pastoral care group, but yet if they see people doing it, and then other people can do it. And but I welcome, you know, anything that you can say, hey, you know, we need a little help. If you need some help with, you know, somebody that we could help, you know, call, you know, just like some people are at home, and just phone calls. I found that just calling people, and just, you know, say, hey, there's somebody's interested in me, you know, and if you give us that, I'd be willing to call someone. I've done it, you know. And people are appreciative of that. You know that. I mean, just a call, because somebody cares. And just like my sister going through these tornadoes in Oklahoma City. She's in a chair. She lives alone now. And these tornadoes were going through the other night at 10 o'clock. So, oh, my goodness. I looked at and it was just total red. And you see these J-hooks. And I always say, when I see J-hooks, I think of tornadoes. And she was in the closet in her motorized wheelchair. And I called her every 15 minutes, and she just said, you know, she called me and she said, thank you for caring. I thought, you're my sister. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we're all. And she was so appreciative that somebody cared, because, you know, she had no one. And she was scared, you know, I mean, you think about it. Because she says, but she's ready to go. She said, I'm ready. She says, I said, well, we're praying for you and all that. But I think, you know, we welcome, you know, more people, you know, people will get involved. But if we can just, you know, like I said, I'm willing to, you know, if you call me, I think we've done a great job. We've got a lot that we can do, you know, but I think it's a group for connect groups is a, like I said, that is, keeps people connected. I think that's such a, Dale does a great job, I think, with that. And, but anyway, ask me some questions, or what do you think? I mean, like I said, I'm open.
Do you have anybody younger that you've been able to pull into your, you know, side over there?
You mean into, you know, I have not had anyone in, now Katie, my Katie has helped called in different things. And when somebody needs something, just like when we were doing, but Katie will get on Marketplace if somebody needs something that we know, and she'll get it. And like, then Alec and I would go pick it up and take it to somebody's house and do things like that. But for somebody just to say, hey, we're interested in helping in pastoral care, yeah. No, I haven't. I mean, I'm certainly open, but I don't consider myself. I consider chronologic maturation.
Yeah,
you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, you know, our minds are still good. You know, that wisdom that you have, you know, is still there. But I think that, you know, if we can be examples for people to see, I think is an important thing. But
Collins, would you say that the pastoral team, they kind of freelance in who they visit, or is there some structure?
Well, there's structure in the sense of the bulletin. Uh-huh. K- Caitlin would send, sometimes I always open to her to send me things. If I know somebody's in the hospital, I try to, you know, either call, like even phone calls are just so good, especially a city this size, you know, you can't be expected. But, you know, that I'm saying probably don't do enough of it, but yet, but that's how we communicate, is by, you know, getting a call and somebody's in the hospital, then one of us, you know, Barb or maybe Barb.
So you aren't doing any, and I'm not saying you should, I don't know whether we, like, doing any assignments, making any assignments.
I don't really do that. I will, I used to try, but yeah. Then I found out that people cannot do it. You know, I mean,
it just didn't work for their schedule.
And it just, I didn't get it as a response. And I know that, you know, certain people, I can always not say trust, but I always know some people are going to follow through better than others. And for whatever reason, people are busy.
Because, I mean, Debbie has been on there, but she's been pretty...
She's been busy. She's out of town a lot.
Mary Ellen is on there, and she's had her own...
Well, she's had her road hoe, too.
And Carrie Ferguson, I believe, is on there, and she's been up to her eyeballs.
I've called her when she's had her hip, she had her knee surgeries and things like that. You know, but you call people, and I think that's just a little phone call sometimes. But I'm welcome. If you have somebody that you say, they probably need to call, just email me. Text me or email and just say, hey, you know, and I'll be happy, you know, to call them, but I would want, you know, to come. A lot of things are sensitive that people are going through that are, you know, I mean, they need to be shepherded. And I know you guys, but at the same time, and maybe if you feel like maybe I can help certain ways, I'd be happy to.
But I might recommend, and I'm not saying you should
go right
ahead this way, but I might recommend that. Some people, like Ben, you don't need to tell.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, Barb, you probably
you
might
don't
not
have
to. Tell.
They're gonna
but some of the others, maybe if you said, "Hey, Carrie, would you do this?" I think it would take it from a passive form, like this is out there, to.
And maybe let me know, kind of passively.
Yeah, to make it
give
a little
me follow
bit more
up.
Proactive. A little bit more proactive. And I think that has a lot to do with the number of hats people are wearing.
That's right.
You know what I mean? In other words, you have a little bit more free time to do that now in the stage you're in. Ben, to a certain degree, too. But like Carrie, she's running down to grandkids, and then she's running into work, and then her mom's dying. You know, so you wouldn't expect it. But if it was assigned, she might do it.
Okay. Well, I may,
so,
I may anyway, try that.
That's just a little thought process.
I always, And again, I you know, I'm welcome. I mean, like I said, but you know, when it like that mission, you know, I didn't get anybody sign up.
Yeah.
But I talked to people.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not holding, but you know, it's you got to feel comfortable with what you're doing.
Would it be comfortable? Would it be helpful? I don't want to fabricate things. I'll just make them up if they're not a pastoral need. But let's take somebody like Gloria Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Michael Cannon's mom. She's been pretty depressed for a while now since her nephew went into prison, into the jail system, and there's just been a change in countenance. Well, I'm not saying we'd have to do this, but maybe, and it takes some effort to go to her place because it's way up north. Mm. But to do something like that while there's not an identifiable pastoral need.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one where
I think that you have
be.
To be very careful in how you deal with depression and things like that. I think a woman would be important. If I went up there, I would want a woman to go with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I always, and when
I'm
I
not saying that's
certain
idea,
women that I have, I always have somebody else of the opposite sex go with me, and I think you have to be very careful. And you know, you got to know more than what you don't know.
Yeah.
Because you know, I don't. You guys know more.
Yeah.
Things going on with that, but I need to know quite a bit because if I go in there, you know, I'm not giving them from the support. You know, I'll give them support.
Yeah.
But I can't give them medical type.
Yeah.
Care per se.
Yeah.
But you got to be very careful. But I would want to say somebody like Barb. I know we. Gone to see some people together.
That'd feel more comfortable.
Yeah, if
yeah.
I had that, it was kind of like when Room at the Inn, I'd feel better if a woman was staying here, but at the same time, if it wasn't my wife, you got to watch it too. But, you know, how things kind of get, you know. But I would be willing to do that, but you got to be very careful in how you deal with medical problems, especially depression and you know, you give them support.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we can talk, but you know, it's and pray, and you know, you if you call them and maybe we, phone calls could be very helpful. And again, I don't know as much about her, but yet you know, it's
what I was trying to do a little bit, and she's put her prayer needs down on a prayer card.
Yeah, before, I would be willing to pause her
and to kind of move things a little bit from the list of people who have identified themselves as sick or in need to a little, to ones that we might have observed.
You know, I would be willing to call her and talk to her on the phone,
yeah,
and just to say, yeah, hey, you know, we yeah, give you support and talk to yeah, you, and you know, I you know, we you know, I would be willing to, if you want okay, to send it to me, I could call her, and if she'd be willing, I have no issues with that. I can talk to anybody, but yeah, at the same time, you know, I think we just,
that.
Yeah.
You've done a phenomenal yeah, job. The team's yeah, done a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Right. Just I think we've had good, we had some good people.
People been impacted. And I love the creativity, like Ben taking his dog.
Yep.
You yeah, know, that those kind of things cheer people up. So you guys are just, Ben, you know, it's been an extension of what we would hope that we would want to yeah, do ourselves sometime, but we just can't cover all the bases. Well, and so,
but still, though, it's that, something we all should be doing. I mean, yeah, you know, you guys are shepherding, and you know, the opportunity that I have, I appreciate, I thank you, and for reasons. And but again, at the same time, I want to help McKnight, not so much the elders per se, because you are, you know, you guys are representative, but you want to help people,
mm-hmm,
and that's what we should be. Like I said, First Peter talks about this, you know, yeah, about how we want and our attitudes, and I think, you know, to help people, you know, because we're all people. And just like the other day, you come out, well, you're talking about mental illness.
Mm.
And I said, well, I said, you know, the other day, the devotional was about mental illness. Yeah. And I said, you know, we're looking in the mirror, and every yeah, morning, we all have some kind yeah, of
right,
issues.
Right.
You know, we're people.
Yeah, it's definitely kingdom building, because a lot of times people get isolated.
Oh yeah,
and, you know the enemy's going to attack
yeah,
them, right?
Exactly.
You know, and so you guys are there to
well, just show.
Them
yeah, and I'd like to, you know, like carry, you know, people who, you know, would get on the phone and just talk to people, you know, because that's people just sometimes. I mean, when I was seeing patients in the office, if my 85-year-old came in, I mean, I couldn't do a lot for their health,
yeah,
but I can sure listen to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you talk to them. That's how people want to do it.
Maybe if we could just take a minute or two, just is there anybody that you guys are aware of that does need that kind of encouragement? I mean, I was just
text,
as we
just
were
email me
as we were thinking text about right, Virginia and W.C. Connolly.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
I've
they get
them, yeah,
they get a little bit, you know, they haven't been able to physically get out.
Yeah.
But I think still feel warm toward the congregation, but
right,
are just kind of off in no man's
them,
land. That they would be ones, you know, right off the bat that would come to mind.
Yeah, and Collins, I think the other side of that is, you know, kind of like what Steve said is. There's a lot the elders should be doing, but we just don't have time for it. We need to hear the sheep, and we need to understand the sheep. And so sometimes, you know, you're talking to somebody, and maybe we don't understand the story. And you can say, hey, they're putting on a brave face. Things are not as well as you may have thought.
Right.
It's more than they're being sick. And so we need feedback from you as well
okay,
to say, listen, I think they're going to need a little more help or more
yeah,
prayer
right,
or something
right,
like that, too, is
right,
you know, because you're more in the mix, and so we need to hear, you know, how things are going, and so hopefully
good,
you're
okay,
open
okay,
to
yeah,
giving us that feedback.
Yeah, I think that you know, again, there's not an overwhelming response from people, but it's just like anything else. People have their talents, and there's a lot of people doing stuff from cleaning
yeah,
bathrooms that back up that. That nobody else knows about, and I think that we have to be appreciative of people who are doing computer IT work, mm, people that are, you know, cleaning, furnishing the coffee behind, mm, you know, I mean, there's just so many things that are nice, and to bring those up
mm,
in the service,
yeah, yeah,
you know, that don't get recognized, because, you know, that you know, that those are good
support
things.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I, and again, you can just text me, email, say maybe. So I'll call the Connollys.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to. And I'll call Carrie.
Yeah,
try to
Gloria,
get and
yeah,
just say hey the next time, or maybe just ask Carrie. Well, can you call the Connollys? And just, you know, just throw
yeah,
that back at
yeah,
because, you know, it's just phone calls from different people. Oh, they
yeah,
care.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go back to one more thing, but younger people. when we were growing up, it was common that men would call young men and say, it's Sunday afternoon and Sister So-and-so is going to get a refrigerator moved. And, you know, remember all those calls? And quite frankly, you know, that was a blessing in disguise.
It was.
It gets the older ones to show younger ones what it's doing. And that's why I was trying to think of how we need this intergenerational, you know.
Well, maybe I need to talk to Nathan.
I was going to say Nathan would be a great opportunity.
Nathan could maybe
give
me some feedback on maybe some people might be interested in seeing what, you know, maybe going out and visiting someone like that. Or
remember when they used to take us to the old folks' home up here in Rock Hill, and I hated that as a kid. I mean, quite frankly, you know.
They're 30 years old, they're old. Everybody's 15, 30. I just think a 30-year-old is old. Yeah. But go ahead, yeah.
But, you know.
I can work harder at doing that.
And I'm not saying, you've got to do more. I mean, no. I want to see other people getting involved somehow. That's
And I think, you know, like the Conleys, getting a younger person to, you know, or you know, just to, you know, talk to someone and seeing what they're going through. Like I was talking to someone today, it was a former patient of mine, and her husband had a stroke, and now she has to push him around in a wheelchair, and she is still very physically fit, but yet her role has totally changed. And I said, well, and how people treat people who are in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, they need to ride around that wheelchair. I did that for an afternoon in the office, and I struggled. You know, I was pushing myself around just to kind of put myself in. And I said, we need to put ourselves in those positions now and feel for people, because if you did that a little bit, you'd understand that hardship that someone like Carrie goes through. And then, you know, you look at things that different people have to go through.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it until you do it. Okay, but I'll talk to Nathan.
I may text you some other name, but you're doing great.
Through Connect groups, we can, and I can even maybe get some sign some say that Connect group could just talk to some, maybe call somebody.
Yeah,
and I can, you know, the different people who had the Connect groups. I
like that too.
Yeah. And I think that's
pass it to them to follow up with these three people.
Yeah. I have that permission to do that. I don't want to. I mean, I've always been the type, if you don't do it, it probably doesn't get done.
Yeah, but you can delegate.
And I know when I was the medical society president of the medical society at the time, and I know I try to get things done. Of course, people are busy.
Yeah.
And you're better sometimes if you just kind of do it yourself. And you know, but again, I think, but it is good to get people.
Yeah.
And I can do that now. Okay, thank you. But I do appreciate the opportunity for pastoral care, because it's shepherding, and what you guys are shepherds. You're shepherds, but all of us really should be doing this.
Amen.
And doing it with a good thoughts in our mind, not because we're commanded or forced to.
Yeah.
But yet, this is how it needs to be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for. But this has been good.
Well, I hope we get more, but it gives me,
but
I bet you can text me some people that you might know, and I can get on the phone, talk to them, and if I can go see them, I'll go see them. But, okay, thank you.
Well, Collins, if you want to hang around and hear about the tech team, you're welcome.
I want
to
hear about the tech team. I've already heard about the other. I was in the medical center. Yeah, but Caitlin has done a great job. I mean, she and I had a conversation, and she's nice, because she may not agree with what you're thinking about doing, but at the same time, she's so good.
Kind about it.
And you know, she and I, we've had some discussion about certain things, but you know, I got off the phone, and I feel good. You know, go ahead, tech team. Well, I mean, I'm just.
Yeah. Brian, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate your flexibility and being here. Kaylin was with us earlier. She was very complimentary of the tech team and how things are functioning, and a lot of things are able to happen that simplifies some things for her. Mm-hmm. And so wanted to make sure you heard that too, not just from her, but from us, that we really are, you know, the impact that has behind the scenes, and it's best when you don't notice, because that means there's no glitches or something. But, you know, things are going well there, it seems. And so I want to give you a chance to give us an update on your perspective on the team and all things.
Well, didn't really know exactly what you'd be asking about or wanted to report on, so nothing really prepared, so this will be kind of all off the top of my head. And for what it's worth, I know I'm kind of the leader. I don't know, lead. I feel like a cog in the machine. I'm one of the many. I do value getting the chance to kind of make some decisions and some of the years of having done this, getting some level of, I don't know, seniority. That's a terrible word. I feel terrible saying that word. So, true. But, you know, it's just, yeah, I do appreciate that and the trust that's been placed in me. So thank you for that. Tech team itself seems to be running pretty well, I would say. I'm a little concerned right now because one of our steadies, who was never officially on the team but also very much on the team, just graduated. So we've got a few weeks, months with her, and she's going to be heading out. And that means we're going to be – I think we might be okay.
Who is that person?
Abby.
Is this mostly for camera work?
It's just another body, but yeah. She was primarily running camera with us.
Do you think Jaden will be able to fill in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's kind of been bouncing between the two.
We might ask him to kind of commit to doing that, because he kind of just shows up and helps. But
maybe. I feel weird about asking teenagers to commit to anything on that level, because it just doesn't feel like something I have the right to ask a teenager to do. But if they want to be here and they want to do the work, then I am, let's put them in. Let's get them in a place where they feel welcome and purposeful and all that kind of stuff. But I don't want it to become a feeling of responsibility for them. That kind of concerns me.
Asking Kaylin to do it, since she schedules. So, because we haven't been, one of the things with Abby, she's never been scheduled for one of the positions. Mm-hmm. Like everybody on the tech team has been. So maybe what we do is we actually just put that as an extra thing in services and push it and have Kaylin do it. And so then it's not you. It's sort of you saying, hey, this is the person who should be doing it every
week.
This
is a role we need filled, but yeah. Well, I mean, the other side of that right now with camera.
Then they can choose.
Camera doesn't need to have a person on it. Yeah. It's nice, and it definitely makes things smoother. Live stream looks better. The experience for the people who are on the other side of the internet is a lot better for having somebody on that camera, but we can work the camera without somebody there.
Fourth warm body.
Effectively. Or a warm body, it's true. So it's definitely not as good, but I don't know. Definitely something to consider, though, whether we need to make that a role that we ask for people to fill, whether they're there or not, whether they choose to. It's just like any other week, but
you feel like the bench is deep enough for the other roles?
That's the next thing I was going to say right there.
Enough people are willing to run the soundboard.
We've got enough people willing. I've never had a week that we have run into a position of needing to scramble to cover multiple things at once that it felt like it was a bad situation. We have definitely had, like, Ross at the computer and thumbing the video production.
It's very doable, yeah.
Which, yeah, isn't terrible, but it is a bit of divided attention. And again, it's the same thing as me running the board at the same time as running the camera. It does have a minor negative effect to the people on the other side of the internet when it comes to the live stream, but it's not undoable. It's not a terrible situation, but it is better to have somebody slotted, which we do generally have. Would it be nice to have some extra people kind of on the bench, to use your analogy? Yeah, maybe a couple, but
what beyond? So you have the three typically on Sunday morning.
Ross, or, Leon.
Yeah.
McGlone.
Fogarty.
Fogarty.
McGlone's been out of the thing. He did run this week. So.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So recently,
yeah,
Abby and Jaden.
Jeff being out and Abby. So that's not a lot of extras.
No, it's not. But we do have a lot of people who know how. And the nice thing is the technology we have gotten ourselves into is pretty quick on the uptake, as long as it's set up in advance.
Yeah.
How to run it through on a Sunday is literally as easy as being able to read and press a space bar.
Okay.
which is nice, or literally as easy as being able to watch a screen change up there and knowing you press that button when that happens.
Yeah. Now,
and it's that quick
Jonathan
to train somebody
Worthy,
up on
is
it.
He on the team?
Was in the past, is not now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he only has run Soundboard historically.
Okay.
And that was when we were doing
right.
split worships.
Right.
And he's only done the one
wedding. He did it once for us in a pinch
wedding?
At some point
yeah,
in time.
Yeah, some wedding or funeral. He
right.
came in and did it.
And so, and no other women besides Abby?
Abby's the only one that's
okay.
really, yeah, stepped
Jeannie
up and expressed.
Jeannie, yeah,
so
she was on computer wait. That was
yes.
that was yeah. auditorium back in the
yeah.
day, too, right?
Well,
I don't remember her.
Yeah,
I'm not auditorium. I mean gymnasium.
Yeah.
Was
Allie's
it? Was she in
the Swisher twice?
Oh, and Allie's
been.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're
but
right.
She really,
you're
enjoyed
right.
doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's somebody we might be able to invite if she's interested
more
as well. Her. But
okay. So how do people find out? I mean, because if you're kind of uninitiated, it can look intimidating.
Very.
But based on your description, it's pretty easy to really learn, you know, some of the basic things so you can be a part of the team.
Right.
So how do you break that barrier, that intimidation factor? Do you recruit people and just and kind of help them to see just maybe, hey, this is something you can do? How do you bring people involved?
Anytime somebody comes to the back, if they're looking, standing for more than a few seconds, you got any questions?
Yeah.
Does this look interesting to you? Is this something you've thought about doing in the past? All those little questions and stuff, just to kind of
okay.
prod and get the conversation going.
Yeah.
Generally, it comes back with a, it just looks cool kind of yeah. thing. Every now and again, you get somebody that's like, no, well, I kind of thought about and all that kind of stuff. And then I try to very quickly go to, well, okay, you got this and these three things, this board right here. It's a little complicated, can be intimidating, but these things, these are as easy as pie. If you were ever interested, I'd love to get you or give
yeah.
you a chance to come back and kind of watch, shadow, jump in with us if you want to.
It's great.
All those kind of things. Very little good turnaround on that, but I try to make sure that's a conversation I toss out anytime somebody shows anything that looks like interest. So.
And it's funny because Jaden was one of those people, and Jaden didn't want to look at one of those little easy things. He sat there and learned the board. So
he wanted to go on the board,
so
yeah.
So he's running it probably during VBS. So that's yeah. how much he's learned
okay.
that he should
wow.
be able to.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of your sermons.
Yeah, good.
And he doesn't – I will own a portion of that as well. But he doesn't jump in on the songs. It's a little bit much for him. He says he doesn't have a musical background. He doesn't feel good mixing yet.
Yeah.
And the other side of that is I hold the board close. It's kind of my baby, so
yeah.
I like running it. So
I have a crowbar for whenever
I was going to say, yeah, one of these days we're going to have to pry me off it. But
if he wants to get serious about that, he just needs to come to the early the warm up,
yeah.
so he could actually. When there's less critical.
You mean like on Wednesday
or issues,
night? Or
well,
that
Sunday
or
morning,
Sunday mornings
early,
even
Sunday
before
morning.
The service.
Yeah, yeah,
if
yeah.
he was there during the rehearsal
he could start
time.
The singing part.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's and that's
night,
that
too,
there's a degree of musicality that's needed there,
yeah.
but
so,
we can definitely teach it, absolutely.
So we've had some conversations about some equipment maybe moving to some, you know, last stage of their life. Cycle.
Already in this last stage, yes.
And so help me to understand kind of what we need to be thinking about in terms of making sure we don't run into that life cycle and run it out
mm-hmm.
before we make some changes.
We may already be there. Okay, so the live stream is made possible by a product called Sling Studio. It's something that was originally developed by DirecTV, and they were testing out a product for something they were trying to do on their side and making some money doing it. And as soon as they realized this is going to work and we can make our money over here, they stopped supporting that entire thing.
Okay.
That is what we bought into when COVID hit in order to make the live stream possible, which has been great. But what it means is DirecTV is not pushing any updates, pushing any new stuff out for it, and basically letting this thing die. So as it dies, it's holding us back on upgrading the computer to the latest stuff so it can work better on other things. It's affecting some of our connectivity to like Google Drive and all that kind of stuff. We've had to band-aid a few things to work around it. We're behind on updates to the computers and the iPad and stuff like that. It has posed a problem in previous weeks. I don't think it's, what, maybe a month now that we've gone without problems.
Easter was...
But we had about
the
3
whole month of April
yeah,
struggled.
We had 3 weeks that we weren't able to cast out the live stream. We were able to record it and post it after the fact, but that's not well received by the people on the other end because they don't have that live interaction. Because on Sundays when I'm in the back specifically, as people post, if there's a question or something, I can reply in the chat while doing everything else because I've got it right here.
Okay.
On a pre-record that's posted after the fact, it's just you watching a video dead. There's no interaction. There's no community. There's just you're sitting down watching your friend who recorded a church service.
What would it take to bring us up to date?
We're looking at a program, another live streaming thing.
Platform.
Thank you. Maybe it's not a platform. Anyways, is it a new tech.
Physical device like the sling?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it would replace the sling. It would open up the iPad to be used up front and for other purposes. And it operates basically the same way, so it's another real quick and easy. We just kind of move on to this off of the other thing, and people are already familiar with the basics.
So you said iPad up front, so the speaker can use the iPad and control the slides?
Yep, we could potentially make that happen. Okay. So that it's a little bit of both, whatever makes that person up front more comfortable, or if they want to have notes instead of walking up there with a computer and flipping up the lid and it's sitting up there like that, they've got their notes on an iPad right in front of them, and it's...
So the Wednesday night practices, they use that. So they use that functionality with the iPad, because we don't stream the practice, so they just leave it up front.
When we stream, we can't use the iPad for anything else, because it controls the stream. This new product, it's called YOLO. Mm-hmm. It would... Yeah, it replaces all that, puts it all right there. Same basic functionality, touchscreen, all that kind of stuff. And it is newer, significantly newer. It's ongoing updates right now. It's supported by its creating company, and it doesn't show any signs right now of being anything they're going to cut off or let fall dead.
Is that a subscription or?
No, I don't. No, it's a single purchase. Yeah, it's a single purchase, and it's just getting the downloads onto it to keep it up and current as we go from that.
Yeah,
it's a little expensive. We're looking at, I think the model we're going to need is like 1,000. Do you remember the number off the top of your head?
So between $1,000 and $2,000.
Is it 1.5?
One of them was 12, I think, and the other was 15.
See if I can pull it up real fast.
I thought it was
free. One was 1,000.
I thought it was 1,000. Right. Yeah.
And then the pro was 15 that.
But I thought that had a number of inputs that we didn't need. I thought the 1,000 would be more than ample for what we were looking at from what you showed me.
Yeah, there's a base model that offers not quite what we need. There's a mid-range model, and then there's like a ultra.
Yeah.
No, the pro is the mid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so the $1,000 was the one that we were looking at.
What is the basic model missing that we need?
It doesn't have the number of inputs that we would need in order to maintain and potentially grow. We'd end up paying for this thing and then needing to replace it later.
So PowerPoint and camera.
That would be it. And we want to be able to, we want to be able to get other cameras. In the long run, we want to put another camera or two in the auditorium so that we're not just getting this one angle and we're not watching it zoom in and zoom out on the live stream because that's poor production quality. Drives me crazy. Viable, fine, but if we have a camera here, and a camera here, we can move between the three different cameras, and one can be repositioning while the other one's showing, and it makes it nicer, and we're making his sermons more interesting because it's not a static shot of just staring right at you. It's coming from a side. It's coming from a high angle. You get back. You can see the audience a little bit if you want. It makes it more interesting visually, and it makes it something that more people are going to want to.
300 more now, that would be possible.
So is there anything that would keep us from moving ahead? No, I think that's within range. We thought we were going to replace the soundboard this year, and I think that was might be a $3,000 item or something.
I've got another price one for that I've been looking into, but I don't remember off the top of my head either.
Yes. It's bumping that. Maybe we'll do the soundboard next year or something like that.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, we're fine to move forward when you know what you want. Brett's the guy that,
Now, and is that, that's for the device, but then there's the Pro Presenter software too. So that's the upgrade.
We may
update on that.
I was going to say we gotta. I still haven't called them. I meant to. It's the last week of school. It's terrible.
Well, and that's like with me and VBS. Yeah. Yeah. So we were doing some research, Brett and I, and we were trying to figure out the price for the Pro Presenter that I had talked to you guys about last time. So it's basically the presentation software we use. Mm-hmm. And as we were doing it, I put the code in, and it's like, so finally I figured out if I put the code in, I put the, our user ID, it would give me how much it would cost. So I get it, finally find it, put it in there, and it says, you've already upgraded past that on this date. You can't do that. I'm like, why can't I do that? And then I'm like, I sent Brett these numbers that it gave me. He went and found an email that Jeremy had already bought it. So we, it's quite feasible that we don't have to actually pay anything to upgrade.
We may already have it, we just don't have it installed.
I think that's installed. Okay. Yeah. So, but the thing is that this was back in 2022. So 2 years ago, it was in April. So we could be.
I thought Seven was a subscription service. So this is Seven, but it's pre-subscription service.
Oh, where did
you grandfather
did? We don't know. This is our sort of
got to make some calls.
And the problem is that Seven requires you to pay every year, and so we've never paid any more since, at least that we know of, since that one time. Maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. We didn't know we paid this one. So we paid the original upgrade. So it's possible that since we've never actually downloaded the Seven software, we can download it, and that will start our subscription. But this is where it gets all into this. Nobody has time to work on it. So Brian's finishing school, I'm working on VBS. So the first, second week of June is our goal to be free enough to where me, him, and Kaylin can work on getting it at least loaded on one machine. And then if we get it on one machine and we get the full thing, we know we can put it on all the machines. And then figure out how the paying is going to happen from that point.
So there's a few dependencies and orders of operation. So, you know, Brian talked about things not being on the current version. So there's certain things that hold this back. So ProPresenter is an earlier version, which means we can't update the iOS, and which impacts a lot of other things. So hopefully we can get this resolved. And once this gets resolved, then we can update the iOS on the hardware and get that updated, and then, you know, hopefully then we'll have a stable platform. You'd like that in place when they get the video equipment, just, you know, a good clean place to start. But I mean, you guys will make the decision on when you do what, but I think hopefully good news would be that we've already bought it. It's just the pain of, you know, calling people and getting it installed.
And honestly, I don't mind calling people because dealing with vendors is what I do now in a large degree at my other. And so calling somebody up and just being like, hey, let me schmooze you a little bit. We really like your product. And man, are we ever happy we spent money on you before. And we're going to promise we're going to spend some more money on you later.
That's right.
But you know this thing that says it's a receipt that we get in those numbers? Can we let's roll with that. Can we do that? Let's do that thing. I'll tell everybody about you. I promise. So I don't know. It's a phone call we've got to make, but it's just a matter of when am I going to have the time to make it?
And so one of the good things about upgrading Pro Presenter is it will give a chance for us to do training. So one thing, I mean, Ross is going to have to know the new program. Jeff Ogre is going to have to know the new program. So around the time we're going to do it, we will let the whole church know we're upgrading. If you want to come and learn, this is a good time for you to jump in and just see what it's like. And then that way that may fill in a few more spots. And then the other would all be very similar. So I think that it's a perfect time. That's what we did when we actually went to six. We had two training sessions on a Saturday. We may not do two training sessions. We may do it the one time, and so everybody gets to learn it. But there's lots of videos online too now. So it's both of them good options.
It's great. And for what it's worth, I already downloaded ProPresenter 7 to my own computer just to play with it, and it's very similar. Its user interface is different, but it's still very similar. So, but yeah, if we can get ProPresenter upgraded, we upgrade the operating system of the computer, and then once we get YOLO, we can upgrade the iPad and get that back up to optimal connectivity and all that kind of stuff, and with more options. Would love to have more cameras, like I mentioned, in order to get in, which is one of the reasons we're looking at the mid-range YOLO, which is a little more expensive than the base, but opens up some doors for us. And then big, and not anytime soon, but the lights up at the very front of the stage, those four that are kind of hidden that you don't notice except they're throwing color on that back wall, I'd love to have a newer version of that that's controllable from the back, because I can't do anything with that unless I'm laying on the floor on the stage manually pushing a button.
He does a really good job.
So you can change the color, but you got to go up front to do it?
It literally has to happen when nobody else is in the room in order to happen at all, or when nobody cares that we're changing colors. Yeah. Otherwise, it has to be static during the actual services or anything like that. So
we can change the ones from the ceiling.
We can
those
do a lot.
Yeah, I got you now, but not the floor.
And that actually brings up another thing. But, the newer spotlights give us a lot of – and they love them. They're really great. We can do a lot with it. You guys have seen it, how quick it goes. I would love to, in the long run, have a system similar that's not a touchscreen. Some of the finer-tuned manual keys of a slider give you more than a touchscreen sometimes, because
it's not just on or off, you mean.
Well, that adjust. Too. Yeah. But it's harder to adjust the fine-tuning on something that's a touchscreen that isn't always sensing your finger properly or where you're going, versus if you have a manual thing and you're actually sliding it up and down, you have that control, it responds better. So that's a dream for the lighting system. The stage lights being something that's smaller, spread all the way along the back wall, down low, and casting up lights that we can control from the back, that's a dream. And then all of the lights that are in cans in the ceiling, those are on-off. No fade, no other option, on-off. The spotlights are the only thing that we can do any fade or variation on. So eventually, somewhere down the road, getting that rewired so that it can be fade as well for that room, maybe even color.
So it used
would be amazing.
To fade.
But
so it,
not
it,
anymore with this system.
So I thought I got it to fade once, but it's been a long time. So it was back to last VBS.
It's just the spots that fade.
So up that list, do you have a priority, like uplights would be first, and then how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uplights first, definitely. Uplights being the ones on the stage. Yeah. I fully anticipate anything as far as those can lights being, like,
difficult.
Way down the road. But it's just, I figure tonight's the night we're talking about it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
When we're streaming Sunday morning, can you tell how many folks are tuned in?
Hmm.
What does that tend to be? Does it vary?
13, 14.
Okay.
13 and 14 individual people. Computers hooked in. Now, how many people are on the other end of each of those computers? We have no way to know that, but I have heard things from people who send messages like, just thank you for doing this, or they happen to walk by and be like, hey, I caught the stream last week while I was driving in the car with my whole family. And it's just like, so there's four or five people in a car right there, or two or three people at home on the couch because they're sick. So you could, I was going to say, you could assume with 13, I would feel safe saying if there's 13 computers hooked up, you're probably looking at 26 people minimum.
Yeah, we've been viewing that as a mechanism to help people stay in touch when they're traveling, when they're homesick, you know, shut in, ill, whatever that is. You know, maybe not a huge growth area where we'll draw people with advertising stream, you know, but still a nice mechanism to help people stay tuned in when circumstances change. I've always appreciated that.
I would say that, like, on special occasions, I know, like, Lewis's, you know, they videoed that, and there was a couple hundred people that watched that. So you can look at the ticker, and I, you know, a lot of people I wasn't able to make it, so I watched it, and you could see the number of people, and it's, you know, just a blessing to have that.
Real time, you mean?
No, I watched
in real time.
It
wasn't a big number.
So later, you could see over, you know, a couple hundred people watch this and have viewed it, and just, you know, those. It's just a blessing to have that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, in real time, there wasn't a big number on that. But after the fact, there's been comments posted on it. There's been a lot of views. Some of those are going to be it's YouTube. Some of those are going to be somebody who searched up something and clicked on it and went, oh, wait, that's not the video. Off they went. So the number went up a little bit. But still, it's definitely something that's
cool.
The YouTube channel being out there, the live stream is something that I think people value. And yeah, it's a struggle sometimes, but I think it's a struggle worth continuing to pursue and making sure we have it out there, because there are people that absolutely find value in it. There are people that absolutely find value in the community aspect of being able to post in that moment, in that morning, and somebody else on the stream will kick up a response to them immediately, so they're not alone watching a video. They're part of this community. The only thing I would encourage all of the elders and anybody preaching, anybody up front to do, is acknowledge the camera sometimes. We have a thing where we act like we don't see the camera, the camera doesn't exist. We mention the live stream every now and again, which is fine. But if you happen to mention the live stream, you're talking about a person to a person. It means a lot on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. If you happen to, like, if I'm talking to you and I make that eye contact, this is a thing. So if you are talking to the live stream and you're saying, hey guys, I'm really glad we have all the people from the live stream, if you're looking at the camera when you say that, you're looking at them in their eyes on the other side of that camera. And it means a lot. Versus if, man, I'm really glad we've got him here today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard for the singers to be able to do that because it's zoomed out so far from them. But anytime that there's one individual standing there talking, whether it be the communion person or the preacher, they're zoomed in enough to where they could see that you're paying attention, you're looking at them.
Yeah. They can see that, yeah. So good. Just info, something to toss out there, something I thought of.
This is a crazy question. Where's the camera?
Right next to me in the back. I'm glad you have to ask that question, though. That's perfect, because I always feel like that camera is so intrusively located, and there really isn't anywhere else we can put it right now. I've dreamt, but we can't. But that you don't know is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I'm
good. No, I'm okay. That's
he's
all right.
He's on the other side. He doesn't walk up in the middle.
If you're looking back at me, it's literally right here. Okay. It's within my arm reach. So.
Do you have a list of who, I mean, because I would like pastoral care. I could call them and say, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, there'd be an opportunity for me to kind of,
Alice, for instance, the Holmes, those are all examples. I know last week.
And I'll say I'd encourage you to keep using it. It's nice to know that you're able to stay in communication with us.
But then there are people from outside. I can't remember. It was John and Terry Hunter were on last week.
They're on once in a while.
They're in Oregon.
And they're back in Missouri now.
Oh, they're back in Missouri, right. Kansas City? Because I think they had relatives in Kansas City.
Louisville or
down at their farm.
At the farm.
Oh, they did at the farm.
Yeah.
We're very appreciative of your faithfulness. You're very reliable.
That means a lot, Brian.
Well, and I want to make another comment, and I don't know how many of you guys go out to the website, but I mean, there's more to it. You know, Brian does branding. So if you look at what he's done over the years, there's a consistency in the format and the look and the style and the feel, you know, the lead-in music, the blocking. If there's a sermon series we're going through, he will keep thematically the same branding for that series. He just does an awesome job. Then there's a page for the sermons. There's a page for the live. And you know, it's more than just, you know,
filming it.
You know, he's doing a lot of work.
Right.
And I think some of it over the years, you've probably got it down, but it's very
nice. Well, a lot of that is nowadays, not taking away any of the thunder you're giving me because I love it.
Keep going, Brad.
Yeah, there was a time when I was actively recording and editing all of that together. But the nice thing about Sling Studio, the live streaming software, is it records what we're doing with the live stream as we're doing it and then just puts it on a card where all I got to do is plug it in and put the music,
the
put
intro
the
music
intro
and the blocking.
Yeah, there's the intro and the extra. There's a little bit.
Brian, a little bit.
Yeah.
So Craig Young was here. If you remember Craig's presentation, he had, I don't know, 100 pictures, maybe 200. And, right, Brian?
Yeah. Something like that.
So Brian, because there are people in there that shouldn't have their pictures projected on our TV screen, he went through and he blurred them all out. Mm. Every single one of the people. Mm. Except for Craig. Yeah. And Katie. They were the only two. So you have to think, every person in any of the pictures all got blurred out because they've not given their ability for them to be on our website.
Yeah, I haven't been authorized.
And so there is still, like Brett's talking about, that cutting and modifying
there are
does happen at times.
Yeah.
And so not just the little pieces. So he does it with ease.
And then also, like what Kaylin brought up, there's Sunday morning, but then there's also weddings, funerals, everything else, you know, that goes on. And, you know, Brian and the team are just, you know, somebody's going to be there to make that work. And it's very appreciative, you know.
So two last things.
Sure.
Is it was a real treat to see your daughter last Sunday.
Yeah.
And my wife mentioned it, and a couple other people did too. It was like, wow, Summer was there. So that was
One was Willow.
Willow. Yep. Sorry.
It's been a long time since you've seen Summer too. So absolutely. Gosh, yeah.
Anyway, that was a real treat, and folks never said it was really fun. And number two is just wanted you guys to know that I believe Brian got a Support Staff of the Year award for Brentwood School District.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Just a guy doing a job.
Yeah.
So.
Appreciating
the quality of work that he does.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a good year.
How many years there now, Brian?
3 years in Brentwood at this point. So, which
it was in Webster.
Kind of surprising.
All those 3 years before. But.
So 22 years prior to that in Webster, So
nice, very nice.
But it was kind of nice and very surprising that they would recognize me after 3 years for something like that. So I'll take it. Like
says
I said,
a lot.
I won't turn down any thunder you're tossing my way.
Well done. Brentwood has the highest per capita outlay for child in the St. Louis area, beating even Ladue.
Wow.
Some of the others.
They do some. Yeah, they take care of their kiddos for sure. I'm proud to be a part of that.
Yeah. That's great.
They absolutely do.
Rich Neiman's still there. Chemistry, he was a good friend of mine way back. I had seen
him. Ooh, the name's familiar here, but I can't pin it.
It's chemistry. He's about 7 foot tall. He used to play for the Boston Celtics, Rich Neiman, but he taught at Brentwood for a long time. I used to go there.
If he's up at the high school or anything like that, I don't run into the high school staff as often because I'm down at the elementary level. So. But
great guy.
Very nice. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. We will bore you with the rest of our
thank you, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. Go
appreciate
ahead, talk
it,
some
guys.
Kids in.
Yes, sir. Means a lot. Thanks, Brian.
Absolutely.
All right, the next things on the agenda, I think some of them can move pretty quickly. And in the interest of time, let's try to make that happen.
Yeah.
These are important enough
that
we don't want to gloss over them either. So chime in when there's info you have. But this is more just really a planning agenda.
The other side of the space. I can't see half the group.
The Ethan Laster visit coming up on June 2, I think that's largely laid out. I tried to shout out to Steve Autry. I knew he wouldn't be here tonight. Send us an email if there's more we need to know. He didn't say anything.
I think Steve and I met this morning, so what,
okay,
Steve?
Good.
We did. So you guys pretty much know all the things that's going to be happening. Obviously, the first day, we're going to meet up here with the ministry leaders. And what we're thinking there is that we're going to have like some semicircles where we can all sit and talk and get a chance to hear from ministry leaders, you know, a little bit about what their role is and who they are. And then once we do that, go around the room, have an opportunity to do that, well then it'll be their opportunity to share, you know, in terms of that. And I think Jeff's gonna facilitate that event on the first. And so So that's kind of laid out there. Steve, in terms of logistics, we're working through some of that stuff. Steve's going to set up, and so we'll clean up once everything's over. We'll do that part. But so then on the second, again, you guys probably know it, he's going to preach, and then do Bible study, and I think is it on holy?
Yes. Holy is his word.
Holy is his word.
Yeah.
So he's going to take holy, and then we're going to dismiss into the gymnasium, and that's going to be less formal. We'll have an elder to start us off with the prayer in the gymnasium, and then just kind of open it up, let people get the chance to meet them, and so that'll give the congregation several touches. You know, the ministry leaders will have the intimate touch on Saturday, then in Bible study, get a congregation opportunity to interact with them on the Bible study, and then if they want to do that further in the gym, they can do it further in the gym. So, so that's kind of the sense of what's going to happen that weekend.
Like whoever does coffee that morning will maybe do a couple more pots at
well,
the
I
end.
Well, I think so Becky's kind of taking the lead on that. Oh, she's going to take the lead on that. Nice. I think it's nice. Is it parfait that she's going to do?
I don't know. She said donut holes.
Okay.
Just a little things simple. That's not simple. A brunch and not a lunch.
Yeah,
right.
Kind of in between. Just so something to snack. Have. Yeah. And a nice table presented that okay. will look like, hey, we are welcoming you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she may call on some wives. Okay. So, yeah.
Nice.
So that's it. Yeah. Right.
I'm planning on June 6th is our next elders meeting. We'll double check that here in a minute. But Nathan will be there, and I want to be deliberate about hearing from him about Ethan, because he won't be here the following one. We'll have a couple of meetings in June like we normally do, and really that's our digesting and formalizing the decision on Ethan or the next steps. With kind of that tentative, can we make a decision by July 1? And what do we need to do that? So I just wanted that in your minds about Ethan. Here this event's coming up, there'll be more discussion. Hopefully people will have a chance to send us emails and talk to us in our small groups if they've got feedback from that day. That'll all be part of the info we gather, so.
Yeah, I think we also
we're putting a note
on the ninth, we're gonna encourage people to give us feedback on the ninth, the next Sunday.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's, you know, if we meet on the 6th, we'll also meet on the 17th.
Yes.
You know, we'll bring all whatever we hear from people. That's right. So,
well, we spoke this morning, Dave, and again, I don't really, I do kind of mind on that six because we have VBS every night mm-hmm. that week, and so that was one more. So I had remembered, and I think Jeff concurred that we were not going to have a meeting that week.
Yeah, we're going to go second and fourth for that month,
or just have one on the 17th. Is what I thought. I mean, if you all want to have a meeting, that's fine. But I'm just saying with Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night being up here at the building, and then maybe not even giving the church quite enough time to respond in terms of information, I thought we had decided not to meet that week.
How many of you guys plan to participate in the VBS? Okay.
I'm not.
No.
Right. Now he tells us.
You're in charge of us.
And so I'm fine with that. That you know makes some good points. I'm most concerned about getting Nathan's formal input.
Yeah.
And he's not available on the 17th.
So one thing that I had mentioned to him today is we maybe should do either have him record his thing or we do a Zoom or something like that. FaceTime him. And then that way, because I think at the time we're meeting at 8 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, between 6 and 8, he should be able to Zoom into us, let's say.
On the 17th. I forgot where he was.
Yeah, and even from camp he could. So, I mean, if he's at camp that week. So there's lots of places at camp that, at least with somebody with an AT&T connection, could Zoom in. My phone down there, I can get connection anywhere. So that's definitely an option that if we needed him.
I don't think it was camp.
Yeah, it has to be AT&T. None of the others work down there.
Unless you go up to Inspiration Point.
Unless you go to Inspiration Point, and then you can
make him hike for Zoom.
But was it camp that he was at on?
I don't remember which one, where he's at, which time.
Yeah, I don't
think I have my calendars with me.
I do understand your concern. We mentioned it in staff meeting, and he definitely would like to have an opportunity to the input, and he also right. can't come to the 17th, so I get all that.
All right.
But.
Well, we'll make sure he's got a chance to get his voice heard.
Yeah.
Whether he, you know, fills you in, Jeff, or sends yeah. an email to us with his thoughts enumerated or something.
Or even if we just, to Jeff's point, even if we couldn't do it visually, if we could, at the very least, just bring him in on a call on the 17th, would that... Yeah.
be a possibility. I just know he said he's tied up on every Monday in June.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the specifics of that particular one. So.
Okay, very good point.
Yeah. Similarly, I wanted your input on getting Elizabeth and Kaylin's input as well. You know, I don't want to discount that. And the best way to do that, I'm not sure, open to suggestions. Let's treat Nathan a little differently, but
that's a good point, and maybe if it seems okay to you guys, we could just take a staff meeting time to specifically, make that an item and gather that information, and I could take some notes on it.
Okay.
So he's at churches on the street on that Monday.
Okay.
So that's not ideal.
So we could get a recorded thing for that or something.
Speak freely.
Yeah. And, right.
That's
right.
All good. All right. Well, that's a great mechanism. I like that. So
are they invited to the first? Do you remember Kaylin and Elizabeth invited to be here with us on the 1st of June?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, they'll be here on that Saturday night. I think both of them said yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
All right.
Kaylin knows, so they know each other previously too.
They do.
Because both Travis and him are in the same program.
Yeah, they have. That's true.
Okay. Let's see. All right. So that seems good for that weekend. The VBS is coming up, and so lots of us are going to be there. I think we know the logistics. Jeff, anything else?
Well, before the VBS, for one of these next meetings, we still have, you were working on the memo of understanding. I think there were some red lines that we made at the last meeting. I didn't know if you were
making any. Yeah, I'll put that draft together. I'll run it by
Carson.
Mary Ellen's son.
Yeah,
okay. Carson, right.
And get feedback. We don't need that until July 1, but I'll make sure that we're comfortable with it. We'll get Carson's feedback on it. We've got, on the 17th.
Right. Well, I thought on the 17th we were going to be able to look at everything and have a pretty good yes or no where we were going with things. And so
17th, that's a good idea.
That's what I thought we were. Okay.
Yeah. That'd be plenty timely.
Okay.
Okay. The VBS, Jeff, anything that gaps or anything you're just concerned about?
Doing okay. The only concern, Jeff and I have talked about it a little bit, we don't have a lot of signups. So we have 29 people that are signed up to be at VBS. That's not counting people that are helping. There are two or three in that 29, and 10 of them, I think, total are adults. So that means there's only 20 kids that are signed up for VBS. I'm going to spend some time this week trying to email people, but that's just something really odd, at least from my perspective. But I do know McKnight is a very slow in signing up congregation. And we are doing sign up a little different than historically. The last 3 or 4 years where we've required them to sign up or they can't come. We aren't doing that this year. We're allowing them to come no matter what.
Walk-in
is fine. And Jeff's going to announce that this week. That's one of the things on his list just to make sure people know. If you can't come day one, then you can still come. I talked to the Horums.
You don't have to be there every day, for instance, like the Horums.
Well, the Horums are going to be on vacation until Sunday, and they'll get home late, so they probably won't come to VBS that night. But they were like, we would come if we can come on Monday. I'm like, of course you can come. And so that kind of thing that I don't know if that's the reason or what it is that we don't have people signing up. But we have lots of people that are helping. So that's, I think I have every role filled, so that's positive. It's just that they won't have anybody to teach.
So you can add, Whitney Cannon and her two kids. I don't know if she's.
So they are going to come?
Okay, good.
I don't know.
They are going to come. They want some, and we'll make sure they get there.
Okay, because I know you had mentioned that you were going to talk.
Yeah.
So they said
so
yes.
If she has it formally signed up, you can add them to your list.
Okay.
Both Zach and Zariah. So that was encouraging.
Yeah, so.
All right.
We're pretty close to getting to the end. Next week, we will start decorating. So if you see stuff everywhere, especially the next Sunday, for Ethan, he'll be happy to have a party. So we'll start the party for him. So that's what's going on. So you'll see lots of decorations soon.
All right, so next elders meeting will be June 17th instead of the 6th, so that's good. Appreciate that. The elder breakfast at Maryland Heights is coming up June 8th. I did sign up and wanted to know who else is going.
Don's going, and okay. Steve, and okay. Anybody? Okay. Ross, Jeff? Can't do it.
It's an elders meeting. I'm not an elder. I don't know. That sounds weird.
You're an elder. No, we want you there if you can make it.
Yeah, I could probably make it. I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah. You're probably not on the list, actually. Yeah. So you haven't been getting the communication.
So no, I wasn't planning on it.
Yeah. So did you come to the last one that was here?
No, there was no.
Okay. So it's in a sense a follow-up to that, diving in more deeply on some of the functions of elders. And some of it might feel a little, I don't think too much, but I think a little bit, because I think it's a good discussion for us. But I think some of it, we might be a little farther along than some of the other elderships. So I was telling Jeff this morning, for instance, Scott Cody said that they have three elders at Maryland Heights. All three grew up at Maryland Heights. So they're kind of insulated, for lack of a better word. And so the part of the intention behind these area things is to help get out of not feel alone and get out of their own box. So one of the things that we're going to be developing in that particular one, I'm going to have a session just short in teaching. And then Kyle from Lafayette will have a short one, and then Scott will each have one as we talk about the different functions of elders. You know, there's different words in the New Testament, bishop, shepherd, elder, and then the idea of administrative. How does that fit in a 21st century world? A lot, to tell you the truth. You have to administrate to minister, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Okay, if we don't have an organized to-do list, we're in trouble. You know, those kinds of things. But then there's also the shepherding function, and then there's the vision, there's the leadership, so that's kind of the basis, and there'll be, again, a number of churches there, as there was last year for those who attended at the Maryland Heights congregation. In some ways, I think Kyle is in the same place, trying to bring his shepherds along, if for lack of a better word. So again, I kind of feel like in some ways we might be a little bit different place here at McKnight, but that's all to say we can, I think, do sort of mentor in some other ways on this, if that makes sense. Of course, somebody's getting married that day, so
I'm not going to be there.
Brett's got a reason not to be there with Cora's.
I'm going
to
be a mess.
Wedding. Yes, he's going to be. You're not getting married, and it's in the morning.
I remember
Robinson.
He said when he got married, they were on his honeymoon, and he felt, because it was a sign of the times, obligated to attend church. You know, and it just, you know, it's like you're on your honeymoon, but you got to go to church. It's like
Sunday night too. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think as a missionary in Hungary, I went to church the next Sunday,
yeah,
probably
right,
the next
yeah.
day, and probably preached it. That's yeah. right. I didn't have to preach that Sunday, but Saturday night.
So. Anyway, that's all I got to say about the area ministers thing. And just in some ways, I feel like I'm trying to just support the area ministers and shepherds, I guess, as maybe another shorthand way of what I'm saying with this. And so I know it would be well received if we can make it. I'll send you the invitation, Ross, and then you can decide from there based on my little speech.
All right, I'm going to insert an item there that I penciled in that Jeff reminded us of. One by One is the a cappella singing group from Pepperdine, mm-hmm. and they're making their circuit this summer, and they're going to be in our area, and July 8th was a time they kind of suggested that we could easily invite them, and they would love to be here if we wanted to do such a thing. And so whether that's a youth group focused thing or, you know, whatever, it's a Friday night. Mm-hmm. And so they're asking for a response. Are we interested? We
that's
have hosted
Monday
before.
Night.
Pardon me?
July 8th
is a Monday.
Let me correct all the information a little bit.
Yeah,
you did great. I'm sorry, Dave. You did great in presenting it, and I did. But things developed today. Okay, so I think the lady got impatient with me not telling her whether we wanted to do it or not, and so then Jeff Walling called.
So what, Jeff called today?
Yes, and so he called me. I didn't return his call, so he called Autry. So Autry and I talk a little bit back and forth, and Autry says, I owe him one from something. I don't know what that was about, but it's something in the past. So this is the date. The dates that she gave me were the 3rd and the 5th, which I was very reluctant to commit us to anything. Number one, I'm out of town. Number two, it's right there at 4th of July. To be kind of awkward times. I got a text from Steve. He's committed to doing it. He committed to Jeff to doing it today on the phone, so we can blame him. If y'all can't come, there's perfect reasoning since we didn't even get it to the meeting and he already said yes to it, July 3rd.
July 3rd, so that's a win.
So we're going to do it. He said we're going to do it. It'll be a great fun. It'll be a great outing for the church, and it'll be a success.
So they've and been here before, so they're really good. That's where Matt was at.
Yeah, that's where Matt. That's where Matt was. Yes. Yeah. And I guess he probably talked to Nathan then, and I think the week after, our kids were already out. So, but on the 3rd, they're probably not out.
Yeah.
And so I think it probably will work out. At least for our kids to be here, and you know, we'll pitch it to your small group. We'll pitch it to the congregation. I think the last time they came, we didn't have a big group.
It wasn't small, but it was a Wednesday night, I think, too, because it was our small group,
40 or 45 people
prior to you guys joining it. But it was our small group, Don.
Yeah,
that was there mostly.
So would your small group have typically met at the building that
on the 3rd?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's
I mean, maybe for 4th of July we may have not, I think, but
if youth group's not meeting, we wouldn't.
Maybe. Yeah. But
does the youth group meet then on the 3rd? Or well, anyway, we are meeting now.
Yeah. Our small group,
I think, regardless.
It's kind of,
we meet all summer long as there's youth group going on. And so, yeah, we would have met if that would have been a youth group night.
So our small group breaks for the summer, but we're looking for a couple of things to do together in fellowship. So maybe
that's a good one.
If other small groups are doing the same thing, it's a, hey, let's get together and do this. It's a Wednesday night. Maybe that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
We can promote it that way. So, okay, well, it's good to know that that's booked.
That's booked.
So I'm glad you have that update.
I walked down to the
Galen's desk. That'll need to be in the bulletin promoted.
Yes, and promoted this week. Yeah, we'll get
that, standing thing. So, okay.
I went down to Galen's desk, and she's like, Jeff Walling just called.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jeff Walling, as in the Jeff Walling?
What's he doing? Yeah.
Should I know who that is?
No, he's kind of a, he's like the Church of Christ youth minister, youth group conference speaker. I mean, he's the guy, but he's out now at Pepperdine doing a different role where he works with lots of young people.
Okay.
I don't know if it's mostly college or mostly high school, but he's promoting a lot of stuff at Pepperdine.
All right. A reminder that Jeff's Goodbye Sunday is August 25th.
Yeah.
And so logistics around that need to be considered.
When, John?
Well, I can give you guys a couple updates on that too. We talked a little bit about this morning. So Jeff provided a list of people he would like to see invited to that weekend, and so we got that list. And the theme around it is like a reunion. It's just a number of people that was influential in Jeff's career in terms of shaping him, and people that he served with over many years. And so we want to invite those people back to be a part of his, his retirement, his goal, and so that's going to happen on the 25th. And so with that list, it's a really, substantial list of people, which is you would expect after, the number of years that Jeff been in ministry. And so what we thought the wise way to do that, rather than us trying to parse through the list, is maybe use a professional service to help us to get that in terms of bringing a card, invitation, and get that out to the group. And so we want to do that in terms of
the invitations, you know, make it more more personable, you know, something that's nice. And then the other thing in terms of the day of the event, the meal, we want to, you know, cater that, you know, have a catering service, you know, something like that. And Gwen is willing to be a part of that and lead that. She says she just want to maybe reach out to the wives and see which one of the wives want to help out with it. And so that'll be a part of the actual meal on that Sunday. So it'll be a meal here in the building on Sunday after the work, no Bible study, it'll be after the worship service. And I think Jeff, Phil Gold's going to be one of the speakers potentially.
Well, I didn't say speaker. I think maybe we have him lead a couple songs, but I think Phil is going to come into town. I don't know if Jamie will come or not. I think Jeremy and Laura will be here. That would be kind of a big deal for them to be back that Sunday.
Yeah.
The Hunters potentially.
These are just people I sort of randomly talked to.
I think they've actually reached out to you, right?
The Hunters did. John and Terry.
So we want to keep Becky, you know, want to honor her as well. She's part of the team, so we don't really expect her to be a part of the planning and any of that. So we want to make sure that she's honored appropriately. So we're going to make sure that that she don't have to participate in any of the logistical things. And I think, Jeff, I think you said maybe you guys will host that Saturday night.
For out-of-town guests, we'll do like hamburgers and hot dogs. And this won't be for necessarily everybody in the church, but it'll be our family and then out-of-town guests, whoever that ends up being. Like my mom, she might come.
Yeah.
She'll be like, I'll watch it on the stream.
That's right.
You have just your family comes. I mean, that's already the
congregation. Yeah. So I think some of them are
your brothers. To come.
Possibly. Some of them.
Because he's one of the streamers.
John was one of the... Joel or John?
Joel streams all the time, doesn't he?
Oh, does he? Joel, yeah.
Or isn't he the one that you told said?
I know he has before. I don't
so
know.
So maybe not every time.
But yeah, but John was an intern, so...
Oh, was he?
You know, so there's a few, and all the way back to the internship days that I thought... I have no idea on this list of 40 or 50 families or whatever it is, you know, maybe only five can make it out of the, you know, with one out of 10, I would be pleased. But even then, that will be fun.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. And no class that day.
No class that day.
Just potluck will be the plan and lots of fellowship. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Anything else about that? We'll just keep talking as we go forward and tighten things up. And, appreciate Gwen, her interest in taking a role with some of that. That's really nice of her. All right, preaching schedule. It's a little after 8, so just wanting to keep in front of us that preaching schedule, September through December. I didn't print out the dates. Steve provided something last time. And so continue to be thinking about that. But are there any special Sundays that we can already fill in that are either on the calendar or we're going to create, I don't know, you know, is it a milestone Sunday when the kids start the school year? Do we?
That's prior. The 18th of August.
Okay. So that'll be outside of that window.
There's Church in the Park the third week of September.
Okay.
I don't know that necessarily.
We'll have a preacher then, too, but... Because usually we'll have to have a preacher then, too.
Yeah,
but it'll
be
a little bit different.
It's a little bit of a different Sunday, yeah. And then beyond that, I don't think there's too many other... We talked about doing one Sunday that was just more of a praise Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's certainly a possibility. And would be fun, because we'll have one similar to that this Sunday, but... Because we're in the end of the Psalms, which is all about praise and prayer. But beyond that, Dave, I think that's all I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I talked to Autry earlier this week, and I think he was going to put together like a straw man, just with some ideas week by week, or, you know, so I don't know if you guys talked about that last time. It sounded like you talked about it last time.
He showed us something, but he in a format. But he didn't actually have people listed in there.
I think he had
dates and he had people at the bottom, but he did not associate the people with dates. Yeah,
but
so
I think he has started making, like you're saying, go on to the next thing. Because I was around at our house Fogarty was talking to him about it. And so, and I was sort of paying enough attention to, as well as the party. And so
yeah,
there's something that he's moved, made more steps than what we had seen last time, but I don't know how far.
So it's one thing if we have, you know, several, a variety of speakers, that sounds really good, and can they just pick whatever they'd like to talk about? Is that a good idea for a lot of that time? Or do we want some, hey, there's a couple of topics that would be healthy for us, and we kind of structure things, and who wants to take some of that series? I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion, but I do think that's the kind of thing that, you know, there are strengths to either approach. We're kind of used to having a series of some sort, but I don't know what that might be, and I wanted to know if anybody had thoughts or planned to see be thinking about that, because...
Well, something for you is, so we talked about this a while back, that periodically, and I don't know if it was like semi-annually, we would talk about tithing and budgeting. And I think it'd be good to have a couple Sundays, you know, you and Don and Brad maybe tackle that. That'd be something I think that would, because yeah, I think we've talked about that it's probably something that we need to bring up, and this might be a good time to do that.
The three of them up there all at the same time.
For 3 weeks in a row.
Just talking all at the same time.
You really want to whittle down.
Yeah.
Well, Brad was the one that suggested having three people up there. If we did it 1 week, even, where the three of them are debating on tithing, and you sort of have the devil's advocate on one side saying, we don't need to tithe at all. And then they're like, okay, fine, we'll choose Don's way in the middle. And okay, we will give a little bit at least.
That's the kind of thing where let's look for an opportunity to put that topic in, that's good.
I'm happy to do whatever needs to be done, you know, so I've been going through Genesis recently, just kind of re-looking things, and especially in what's happening in the world today, and it's just amazing to me how topical it is, you know, right now, but, you know, with what's happening in this world. Now, I think when God told Abraham, this land's going to be yours forever, there's something behind that. And I don't know, I think sometimes we need to go back to some of the old stories that maybe I'm worried how children have been taught, you know. To me, there's a lot of biblical stuff that I don't think our kids get anymore. And, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah is not exactly a great story, but you know what? It's got a lot of lessons for people. So, you know, I could do a series for as long as you want, but I'm also willing to say, you know, just catch in whatever you want.
So keep thinking about that, brainstorming. There's also, I don't know how big the group is that is reading through the Bible this year together, but I think it's pretty sizable. I'm not sure you guys have a feel. As we approach the end of the year, there might be an opportunity to do something with that. I'm not sure. But if a lot of people have been doing that, committed to that, wow, the value of that, maybe get a couple testimonials about how impactful the year has been for them to do that.
That sounds good.
You know, those kind of.
Thank you. Couldn't reach that far.
All right. It's almost 8:15, and so I put at the end, not as an afterthought, but just thought this is where it makes sense for us to, who needs our prayers, and then ask Steve to take a few notes and make that our closing prayer as the people part.
Question. When is your time up? And who's next?
Oh, good. I do June, May and June, okay. As far as chairing these. I don't know what the sequence is. Don stepped in for me. I think we flip-flopped. So Dave, then Don would have been alphabetical. Who's next after that? one of the Steves, I guess.
I think I was right before Don.
Ross.
It's obviously Ross.
Ross. Wait, Steve's not here.
Do you have that list?
I think Autry was the guy that came up with it all. Because I think it was Autry's list.
He had scheduled out through the
year. Yeah, and right. there isn't a pattern that registers.
No. Right, yeah.
He'll know.
But you're right. You were before him, and he's done it. And I did it. It seemed like Brad and Brett were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to cycle through again. So.
Yeah, this was okay.
We'll figure that out next meeting.
It's coming.
As far as people, I'm getting with a Bible study with Lindsay and Mark Minton Thursday. So it's all part of the next steps kind of class. But Steve and I met in there with them a couple of weeks ago and still don't have a really good sense on where they are in their faith, except receptive. Okay.
What is their background? I forget.
It's a really very eclectic. She grew up Catholic, and then I think pretty much dropped out. And then he grew up Episcopalian, and then they were married in the Presbyterian Church at Central Pres. But then they didn't really go that long after they got married, and they hadn't really done much of anything since. And so there is certainly no strong biblical grounding, I guess, for either one of them, which I think they're an amazing couple given that, all of that, you know what I mean? They just have that sense of they could be a really tremendous, tremendous asset to this congregation, already are in some way. So just ask for your prayers.
Communion.
Somebody, Alex recruited, they were passing communion last Sunday, so yes, they were jumping in there. And they were at the Faith in Action Day. And so, anyway, I see it as a process, I guess. My point being, it's not going to be a one-time thing. He said, let me take you to lunch. And so he said, let's go to Mac West. So he must be a member out at...
Oh, MAC?
MAC. So I'm going there for lunch and a Bible study Thursday. So be praying for that, I guess, in terms of next steps. And Lindsay will be there, too. And then the following week... Pam's going to be baptized.
Yeah, of course.
So as I have said to some others, we are now in a world of massive customization. You know, people like to do personalization, maybe is the word. They like to do things the way they would like to. They just, you know, everything is personalized these days. There's no cookie cutter. So she didn't want to have the baptism here. She's going to have it in her daughter's pool over here in Brentwood. She selected a group, all of her kids, some of her grandkids coming in from as far as Texas, written up her confession of faith. We're going to have the baptism and then have mimosas. Wow. So it's another working day for Kreider. So it's just a very interesting way of looking at the world, but whatever. So, and she's read through the material. She's very thrilled about her faith. She's invited Kay Heinz and Becky and myself to be there, but we'll be the only church people. At this point, that's, so anyway, be praying for that. And also, as she said, that this can be a witness to my children who do not have any faith, who are most comfortable drinking the mimosas. Okay. And then, there's another fellow that came through, that just asked for your prayers, David Rousey, that Susan Blaine has alerted us to, who is the brother of Cheryl Knight. And this fellow, long history, hurt religiously many, many years ago, lots and lots of physical things going on in his life. He's got cancer, he's had heart disease, he's got diabetes, he's just in bad shape, but he is to be, I'm expecting him to reach out to be baptized. Okay, so that's pretty...
Is this the guy you met with in St. Charles or whatever?
I haven't even met with him yet. Okay, but that's the plan. So just would like prayers for it. Yes, and he lives in St. Charles. His name is David Rousey, R-O-U-S-Y. So just it's a number of interesting kind of things happening.
Cheryl Knight's brother.
That's my understanding.
Wow.
Cheryl Knight's brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Steve Hunt went to school with Cheryl.
With Cheryl, okay.
Yeah, they were in high school together.
Who's Cheryl Knight?
She was here at McKnight for a lot of years.
Yeah,
Roger and Cheryl. Yeah,
before your time here.
Yeah.
Because I know some Knights, so that's why I'm.
Yeah.
The name is really familiar.
Yeah.
He developed Alzheimer's at a pretty early age, and she moved to
Tennessee. Yeah, Chattanooga area.
So was he from here?
Well, they lived here.
Knight. Sure, like,
I don't think so. I think he was. Roger wasn't from here. He was military, I think.
Because there was a family at Arnold that was also Knight. He was J.D. Knight. And he was probably the same age-wise.
I'm not sure.
I'm not aware of that connection.
I don't know where Roger came from.
I know the grandson who graduated the year before me. He's the one that got me to go to Harvard. So. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that
small world of Knights, because
there's especially in the Church of Christ
here named Tom Knight.
And I would just be praying for Steve and me as we try to figure out these next steps. We've made that list of people last time. It just seemed so slow, and I've tried to ask a number of people to be involved with us, and Ron Orrick seemed to be open, but he's the only one I've really been able to sort of recruit at this point to kind of help with some of the follow-up of people that have been attending, but kind of come in and out of the community and haven't really made any real overtures up in any direction. And I make it sound negative. I don't really mean it that way. It's an opportunity, but sometimes it doesn't. It's not always a clear one in terms of where we go from here.
Yeah,
we need to be really thinking about and praying about that whole next steps in terms of how we engage long-term visitors, because especially once Jeff leaves, Jeff is really good at the process, but it's taken him years to develop some of it. So I think we need to be thinking about what we are going to do in terms of making sure that there's not a vacuum there when that happens, because we got the list.
And Jeff is not leaving.
That's right.
Another reason.
That's right.
Reason 2033 that he's not leaving.
That's right.
Brett has brought up before that there's things like weddings and funerals and memorials that comes to Jeff's desk to start, and we've got this at least a 4-month window where there's not an automatic, and so I don't know exactly what we do with that, but we could use a little bit of training from you and your thoughts about managing those things and in the coming couple of months, and have a mechanism. I mean, people make their choices with who they want to do a funeral, but
right.
Sometimes folks will come and who's available?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that. So there's not. So anyway, appreciate those thoughts. Don't want that to get dropped. So anybody else you want us to pray about tonight?
Just the other person, that candidate, she looked reasonably.
Sure.
On paper, she looks pretty good, right?
Looked great on paper.
So let's just be praying about that for the children's minister.
So you guys probably had a chance. It was late today. I sent out her resume. She's
I saw the email, but I didn't see the resume.
I didn't either.
Okay. It should be attached.
Okay.
If it's not, I'll send it again. Yeah. But yes, she's her background is in children's ministry kind of work. She's worked with Is it the church?
Faith Church.
Yeah, Faith Church.
Faith Community Church.
Faith Community, not Faith Church. Oh, I think it's different.
And there's another church that's really...
She's here local?
She is. She lives in Hillsboro. Okay. Her and her husband have two children. That's in Hillsboro. She has an undergrad in psychology, and she has an MDiv with emphasis in children's ministry. And so she's been involved in that for a number of years. As she looks to be in her maybe mid-30s or somewhere around that age. They have, seem to have that boy, a son and a daughter. And so so we're going to talk with her tomorrow. So we'll be praying about that and see where that leads us.
What's her name?
Her name is Sherry Ryan.
So the Faith Community is in House Springs.
House Springs.
Yeah, it's actually right across the street from the Church of Christ.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Alec Hill stopped by Sunday and mentioned that Jason Mills has been diagnosed with pancreas cancer.
Oh, wow.
And still in Oklahoma, but his son noticed that on Facebook. And so Soldier, also goes Soldier, that's what he has gone by for a long time. So let's pray for him.
Dave Bradley, any updates on Bradley, if he was able to?
What's that?
Bradley, did he get approval to come back?
He has not yet. He was late for the latest polygraph test, and the guy said, I can't do it, gotta come back next month. And so shouldn't have been late. But he paid $255 for that test, and the guy doesn't let you show up late. You gotta pay it again a month later and reschedule. There's just no, not much grace in the justice system, but he also should have been there on time. So. But that's a hurdle that he's got to pass before they'll talk about opening up his schedule for things. And that's just the routine, happens, a couple times a year. And so, thanks for asking.
All right. Robert, thank you for this evening, and thank you for Dave's leadership. Prepare the agenda for us and give us an opportunity to meet with some of the ministry leaders. And in particular, we're so thankful for the work of Kaylin and how she's just stepped in and used her giftedness to provide a meaningful worship for us and her communication, her kindness. And we just thank you for all that she brings to the table. And we thank you also, Father, for the pastoral team. And Collins, he just seemed to be the right person for that role, and we just know that's your hand is in that as well, and how you serve those who are in need, those who are shut in, those who are sick, those who need somebody to be reminding them that they do matter, and we're thankful for that, Father, and we're thankful for Brian and his talents in terms of sometimes maybe a thankless job, but we so appreciate the team that's around him and his talent, his commitment to making sure that we have all the technology that we need to facilitate a worship service so that we can not only, Father, get the best out of it while we're here, but those who are online also, they also are able to participate in a way that encourages them as well. Father, we're thankful, Father, for all of the people that you brought to the doors and into this building, in particular the Mentons and many others. And Father, we're thankful for them because just how they're committed to just want to learn more about not only who we are, but who you are. Mm-hmm. And Father, and have become a part of the community, just jumping in and participating in different things in terms of serving, in terms of the worship service, in terms of communion, and Father, and also faith in action. And so we're grateful to have them here with us. And we pray as Jeff meet with them that they're able to better understand what the next steps are for them, and that they follow your lead, and Jeff may also help them to take those next steps, Father. We thankful for Dave Rossi and his commitment to want to just commit his life to you And Father, we just pray that that opportunity may present itself in a way that we're able to meet with him and help him to understand what it means to be a child of God. And Father, we just lift up our brother Jason Mills in terms of his cancer diagnosis, and we just ask that you be with him in terms of his time of uncertainty, and we don't really know where it's going to take him in terms of his life, but we just ask that you bless him and provide all the care that he needs in terms of the doctors and people around him to remind him that he's a child of God. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.